From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. The oil company BP says again that it is getting closer to stopping the gigantic oil leak from its ruptured well in the Gulf of Mexico. But the company says it still could be days before that happens and months before it can cap the well permanently. Interior Secretary Ken Salazar talks to senators today on the government's oversight of drilling, and environmentalists are suing to close loopholes in oversight and planning and to shut down another BP oil plant. The White House says it will set up an independent commission to investigate the oil spill. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports an executive order for the probe is expected soon.
Officials say the panel will be similar to those that examined the Three Mile Island nuclear plant accident and the Challenger shuttle explosion. No current members of government will serve. The commission will have a broad scope, looking into oil industry practices, environmental review, and federal oversight. The Interior Department has long been accused of being too cozy with the oil industry. The lead regulator of offshore drilling now says he'll retire at the end of the month. This week, Congress is grilling both federal regulators and oil executives about what went wrong in the Gulf. Monday, a Coast Guard official said the spill is so far beyond what anyone imagined. Response plans for future spills will have to be overhauled. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.
Five of six NATO troops killed in a bombing in Kabul, Afghanistan today are Americans. At least 18 people are dead, and the BBC's Mark Dummett reports many were at the scene by chance.
The target of the worst attack in Kabul for months was a convoy of NATO vehicles. The suicide bomber was driving a car packed with explosives. Most of the victims were Afghans, who were simply in the wrong place at the wrong time.
That's the BBC's Mark Dummett in Kabul, Afghanistan. A roadside bomb in Pakistan has killed at least 11 people. Voters in three states will send a signal today about just how deep the anti-establishment mood is this year. NPR's Mara Liasson previews the primaries.
Incumbents in both parties are in trouble. In Arkansas, Democratic Senator Blanche Lambert Lincoln is fending off a challenge from her left. After she angered liberal groups and labor unions, they decided to back her opponent. And in Pennsylvania, Republican-turned-Democratic incumbent Arlen Specter is fighting for his political life against a challenge from Congressman Joe Sestak. Sestak is attacking Specter for not being a real Democrat and for switching parties just to save his job. In Kentucky, it's the Republican establishment that's struggling. Secretary of State Trey Grayson is backed by the highest-ranking Republican in Washington, Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell. But he's still trailing behind Rand Paul, an eye doctor who's never run for office before. But Paul has the backing of the Tea Party movement, and he's the son of the man who could be called the Tea Party's forefather, Ron Paul. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR News. 2 days after Iran freed a young French teacher accused of spying, a French court has ordered the release of a man convicted of assassinating a former Iranian prime minister. Anita Elash reports from Paris that opposition legislators and the French press say the timing is suspicious.
French and Iranian authorities deny the two cases are related. The French government signed a deportation order for the convicted murderer Ali Vakili Rad yesterday, and today a French court ordered him released from prison. Rad has finished serving his sentence for the murder of Iran's last prime minister in 1991, but his release had been delayed. 2 days earlier, the Iranian government allowed 24-year-old Clotilde Rees to return to Paris from Tehran. She had been sentenced to 10 years in prison after taking pictures at an anti-government demonstration. On May 5th, a French court refused a U.S. extradition request for an Iranian businessman accused of illegally selling electronics to Iranian companies doing military work. For NPR News, I'm Anita Elash in Paris.
A judge in the African nation of Malawi has convicted a gay couple of gross indecency and unnatural acts, and he's expected to hand down a sentence soon. Malawi's laws against homosexuality date to the colonial era. The trial of the two young men has drawn condemnation from gay rights advocates in a number of countries, but support as well. Hearings at the trial drew people who ridiculed the couple as well as people backing them. The men could be jailed for up to 14 years. Homosexuality is illegal in more than 36 African countries. I'm Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.